Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking animals this morning. Wildlife Rescue League, our focus, and other things. Possums will probably come up. I'm guessing probably really soon. Carolyn Wilder here from the Wildlife Rescue League in Northern Virginia. Carolyn, it's great to have you here this morning. It is always good to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. I always love driving down 95 in the afternoon to get here for a morning show.
The way you just said that, I knew that the way you said thank you, I just to add, I love driving down 95. I don't know how to take that, but I'm glad to see you. So. That's a great line, though. I do have to remember that. And as always, we welcome back Karen Brace. I never know what to refer to you as, Karen, just because you have so many hats. And we'll say today that you're an animal rehabber.
That works.
Yes. Okay. So we have lots to talk about, but first of all, I want to talk to you about a couple of events. You've got some things going on this weekend. Your possibilities on
right.
William Street.
Yes. So in March, for those who don't know, in March I opened a retail store downtown Fredericksburg. It's at 211 William Street, right up over the Sweet Sheep Candy Store, called Possibilities. Didn't surprise anybody that knows me. We have lots of wildlife and nature-related gift items, lots and lots of local art. I have about 18 amazing local artists who display and sell their stuff in the store. So if you are looking for that beautiful yet unique gift for the holidays, for somebody, if you have a wildlife lover on your Christmas list, come mm-hmm. check us out. But I specifically wanted to mention an event that we are doing this Sunday at the store. It's from 1 to 5. It's called, we're having a Fairy Tale Fall Ball. And Allie from Sesame the Opossum, which, Ted, you're going to roll your eyes, but Allie, Sesame the Opossum is one of, if not the biggest, name in possum social media.
There's actually possum
yes.
social media.
Yes, it is a thing. And she has like over 400,000 followers. She came a couple of months ago to sign her fairly new book called Possums Aren't Cute and Other Myths. And yes, it
As you said that, at first I thought, yes.
Finally, somebody understands.
Yes, and then you added to that.
So, oh my God, the event was insane. We had people from Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, North Carolina. Everybody came to meet Allie and have her sign her book. I had, of course, one of my education possums. I had three rehabber friends bring their education possums. It was a possapalooza. It was crazy. So she is coming back, and we've decided to elevate it this Sunday. There was going to be a princess. Cinderella will be there. But Cinderella's friend Rapunzel learned that Cinderella was coming to hang with possums and Allie from Sesame the Opossum. So Rapunzel wants to come too. So there's going to be Cinderella, Rapunzel, possums. I have a bunch of Allie's books again that she is going to sign. We gave a bunch of stuff away. It was crazy town. So this Sunday at the store, Possibilities, downtown Fredericksburg, from 1 to 5.
On William Street.
On William Street, yes. And I hope you can make it because
the fact that she's got 400,000 followers.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah, between Facebook and Instagram. Yep.
There's many things to be worried about this country for, and that to me just says something. Okay, Veterans Day today. Anything special?
Something special about Veterans Day. And even though you claim to not like possums, I think you can appreciate this. This is the 1 year anniversary of when I lost the original awesome possum, Stuart.
It's been a year. Okay.
It's been a year.
Okay.
Yep. He and I started Awesome Possums in April of 2019. And it's been 1 year today since I lost my big 12-pound goober.
Huh.
And whom you've met several times.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Stuart and I.
He was the first possum, I think, to come in and terrorize you.
Yeah. You made me touch his tail.
Wait till you see what Margo has in store for you.
Don't go there. Oh, don't man. Go there, Ted.
I wish everybody listening could see the look on Ted's face right now. That's
because Margo is in studio with us. We're not alone.
We are not alone.
There's not just, okay. Again, 1 to 5 on Sunday at Possibilities. That's when you can, the program.
Yes.
The program.
Our event. And we highly encourage everybody, young, old, male, female, we don't even care, wear your best princess attire. It's going to be a blast.
And you can get the book signed, Possums Are Not Cute.
And Other Myths.
I was going to stop at that.
Should have brought him one. Should have brought you one.
No, no, you shouldn't have. We're good. We're good. Carolyn Wilder, Karen Brace here this morning. We are going to get into Wildlife Rescue League stuff because there's this time of year, there are a lot of questions about animals. It's always good when you come in the spring and in the fall to talk about these kinds of things. And we will jump into that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Karen Brace and Carolyn Wilder here this morning. Karen is a animal rehabber. Carolyn Wilder with the Wildlife Rescue League. Carolyn, talk about the Wildlife Rescue League because you do really, really good stuff.
We do. So, not to toot our own horn.
But you do.
But we do. We are a virtual organization. We don't yet have a center. We've been trying for years. But we're an all-volunteer nonprofit organization. And we run a helpline. And that number is 703-440-0800. So if you find an animal and you don't know whether or not it needs your assistance, you can call our helpline. Somebody will call you back and get information from you and either give you guidance, like put the bunny back, or yes, this is how you can try to reunite this animal with its parents, or no, this animal does need rescuing, and then we can refer you to a permitted rehabilitator like Karen that takes the species that we're dealing with. And we're talking birds and bunnies and squirrels and raccoons and foxes and skunks and pretty much turtles, everything. We have rehabbers around the whole central and northern Virginia area and even south that we can refer to. And, you know, that's at no cost to you. The rehabbers do not charge. They're not allowed to charge. You're welcome to make donations, but they don't charge. And our organization is basically like an umbrella support group. So we provide supplies, we provide prophylactic shot reimbursement, things that the rehabbers have to pay for on their own. Otherwise, we raise money that we can then use to provide that stuff for them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And our helpline is open in Eastern Standard Time from 9 to 5. And during Eastern Daylight Time from 9 to 7, 7 days a week, holidays included.
Wow. So you really do provide a great service because so many of us, you run into these things you don't know what to do sometimes. You want to do the right thing.
Right.
And to have something in someone you can ask. Where do you get the people that answer these questions? And are these all, I guess these are all just volunteers.
They're all volunteers. They hear about us. Sometimes it's because they have called us and we've given them advice or referred them and they want to help. And so we have a whole cadre of helpliners that do 2-hour shifts. We have a group of transporters that will pick up from one of our partner vets. We can't pick up from the public. You know, so we don't go to your home to get the animal, but if you can't get the animal to a rehabber or to our partner vet, which is in Alexandria, we will pick up from Alexandria VCA Animal Hospital, and then we get them out to the rehabbers. We sometimes move from one rehabber to another because some rehabbers take very small newborns, and then when they get older, they move to other rehabbers that take them until they can be released. And the whole goal is to try to rehab them until they can be released back into the wild. So we have those. We have people that, you know, help us develop our marketing, fundraising. We have a board. So we have a lot. We probably have over 100 volunteers. Wow. that mm-hmm. support the group, because the only person that's paid is we have somebody that does our books because we know better.
So you're all really committed to this. This is, yes. Yeah. Occasionally, this is a true story. Occasionally, we've got the TV news with the DC stations on, and you, Wildlife Rescue League comes up every now and then. One of the stations will do a story on something that you're dealing with. And several times, I have said to my wife, my friend Carolyn works. That's her. That's
I
know
that.
You
don't have
them. My autograph. No, I don't.
I know.
I know. We'll take care of that today. So, how long have you two, Karen? How long have you been working with and known Carolyn?
I have been affiliated with the Wildlife Rescue League since I started as an apprentice, probably 10 years ago. But I don't remember when we actually met.
I think you had just become a Category 2 permitted rehabber when we met.
Okay.
I'm not sure why we met, because you know, you're down here and I'm up there. But
yeah
it's probably been close to 10 years that we've known each other.
Yeah,
it's probably been at least 6 years since I've been coming here.
Yeah, you've come. Yeah, the two of you come down a couple times a year, or mm-hmm. and we get together and do these shows. Right. Karen, it is worth talking about the fact that as a rehabber, you don't just decide one day. I can't just decide I could be a rehabber. It's a pretty stringent process.
The process isn't that bad, but what Carolyn and I were talking about last night is that no, not everybody can be a rehabber. It's not that it's super difficult. It's not that it's a horrible long process, but there are some things that just not everybody can do. For example, if you work outside of your home 8 hours a day, how are you going to care for little baby critters that have to be fed every 2, 3, 4 hours?
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a room in your home that is dedicated to wildlife. So if you're in a one-bedroom apartment,
not going to work.
Yeah, you can't, and these are all not being able to work from home isn't a requirement of the Department of Wildlife Resources, but having, a house, a room in your house that is dedicated to wildlife is one of their conditions. So again, if you have a real small place, if you rent, you have to get your landlord's permission to have little baby wild animals. So there are some requirements that just not everybody has the time. So the process itself is you have to, one, meet all those requirements. Then you have to work under a licensed rehabber for 2 years. We call that an apprenticeship before you can get your own license. And then you have to have a certain number of continuing education hours each year, which it is not difficult.
6 hours.
Yeah, it's not difficult to get. You can do some online stuff. The Wildlife Center of Virginia has their online Wildlife Care Academy. But really, it comes down to, do you have that sort of time commitment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the biggest thing. And for people that either work outside the home or aren't able to have the animals in their... Don't eat the chair, Margo. That have the animals...
Things that aren't often said here.
Yes. then there are, like Carolyn, always tells people, if you want to get involved with Wildlife Rescue, but either you don't want little stinky babies in your home, or you don't have the time, or you don't have the space, then there are many, many other things that you can do to help,
yeah.
such as transporting and working on a committee and working on the helpline. And so there's, I don't want anybody to think, oh, I'd love to work with wildlife, but I can't be a rehabber. There's all sorts of different ways to help. And it really does help. We talked last time, I remember, about transporters.
We did. You brought a transporter.
Yeah, and I had one of my friends, Lori. Transporters are essential to rehabbers because if I have an animal that has to go to Blue Ridge, that's an hour and a half each way. That's over 3 hours of travel time plus the time it takes to you know, for them to examine the animal. That's 4 or 5 hours of my day that I am not spending caring for. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I have 35, 40 animals in my care in the peak of rehab season. So transporters are vital. So there's lots and lots of different stuff that people can do.
Right. We also do educational programs. So we can go into schools. We talk to the Master Gardeners groups, Girl Scouts, teaching them about the different species, but also about when they should and should not be rescued. Because so many people think if they see an animal by itself on the ground, and it's little.
Oh my goodness,
it needs to be rescued. And most of the time what you are really doing is kidnapping it, because the parent is around, you just haven't seen it because you're there. And so a lot of what we do is we're educating the children so that hopefully they will educate their parents and say, no, mom, put it back, we don't need it, you know, it's fine. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of, we're getting into the schools and doing programs now that we're post-COVID and they'll let us back into the schools.
I never thought of it. Yeah, I mean, you...
Oh, we didn't, yeah.
Right, you couldn't have done any of that.
We weren't allowed anywhere near anybody. Right. We didn't do programs for 2 years, so that's another opportunity. And I know Karen does educational programs on the possums and stuff, too. And it's all a way for people to become comfortable with the idea that these animals are in our life because we've taken over their habitat. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you see a fox going down the middle of the road in the middle of the day does not mean it is rabid. It means it's perfectly comfortable and it's getting from A to B. And we found this particularly during COVID because everybody was working from home and they were seeing wildlife they had never seen before, and it was freaking them out because what's this raccoon doing out? It's nocturnal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that they're out.
That is so interesting, because when I do see, I have lately seen, I've seen foxes all times of day, mm-hmm. and have wondered what is going on here. We walked out of a movie one night, and walking over in Central Park was a fox. I was terrified. Yeah. Just terrified.
This is why you stay in this studio.
Yes. I stood there and said, hold on. As soon as it goes by, we're going to run to our car. And we did. I'm so glad you didn't see that.
And if we did, she would have put it on TikTok.
Yes, she would have. So there, and we're going to get into just some of these myths, there just are those so many of those kinds of things. If I touch this bird,
right,
that's it.
That's our mother's myth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which so that really we won't bring the bird home.
Which is really funny because birds don't even have a sense of smell.
Right. That's what you have just said that. And the first time you said it, I thought, she's right. Why has no one ever said that?
Because our mothers didn't want us bringing them home.
That's true. And so all of those, I mean, and I guess that's part of what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that with the helpline, you are dealing sometimes with
absolutely
myths.
It is so hard to convince people that a bird hopping around on the ground is perfectly okay. And they will pick it up no matter what you tell them. And then they will take it to their vet. And then we, you know... And the vet will say, this bird is fine, put it back. Nope, done my good deed for the day, not taking it back.
Yep.
And they've kidnapped it and goes to a rehabber, and it adds an extra month to its release time because it doesn't know how to fly yet.
Not to mention a lot of extra work to rehab.
It does.
Birds are a lot of work.
They're fed the babies are fed like every 20 to 30 minutes all day.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Yes. The good thing is they sleep at night, whereas the squirrels have to be fed all 24 hours a day.
Yeah, mammals do.
Yeah, so...
See, that's another check against a squirrel. as soon as you said that, I thought, that's why I don't like squirrels.
That is not why you don't like squirrels.
Is that a squirrel on your shirt, by the way, Karen?
It's a fox.
Oh, it is a fox. Okay, I was looking at it and trying to think.
Maybe
the
we
tail.
Should, he says it's some manner of wildlife.
Maybe we should do a show on animal identification.
I would not do well on that either. I would not. Do well. Well, and people are so interested in this kind of thing, and they do want to do the right thing.
They do.
But it's sometimes in the heat of the moment, or you just, and like you say, Carolyn, you just feel like, no, you know.
Well, sometimes animals just don't need help.
Yeah.
And the best thing we can do, which is not human nature, is just leave them alone. I had a woman call me several years ago freaking out because it was a tiny, tiny box turtle hatchling, like the size of a quarter in her yard, and she was losing her mind about it. She said, I have a baby box turtle in my yard. And I said, congratulations, how can I help? And she said, well, its mom is nowhere around. What do I do? I said, put it back. She's like, but its mom is nowhere around. And I said, think about it. When is the last time you saw a turtle nurse? They don't do it. They hatched, they're on their own.
Right.
Leave it alone. People are funny.
Whenever I go to Karen and Karen is just very blunt, as if you haven't gotten that. Last year I had moles in my yard, several of them, and it was, you could hardly walk through the yard, and so I email Karen and say, I know there are things you can do. What can I do? And Karen says, congratulations. People spend thousands of dollars aerating their yards. Yours is being done.
Now, why couldn't you walk through the yard? Were there like cavernous craters that you were afraid of falling into the ninth hole or the ninth sphere? No. Your yard was mushy.
Yeah,
right?
It was mushy.
So you just stomp it down.
Yep.
Ted, I don't know why you invite us. We just give you so much trouble.
But I learn a lot. That's why. That is why I learn. And we do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about wildlife, and especially with cooler weather now. Wildlife is seeking ways to get away from the cold. We'll talk about that with Carolyn Wilder from the Wildlife Rescue League. WildlifeRescueLeague.org if you need more information on how to get involved and contribute or just get involved. WildlifeRescueLeague.org. Karen Bryce, Carolyn Wilder here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking animals this morning. Wildlife Rescue League. Carolyn Wilder is here along with Karen Bryce, who is an animal rehabber in the area. So, Carolyn, there's all kinds of myths and stuff out there, and we've talked about that. But especially now, with the weather starting to change, this is a time to be on the lookout because animals are looking to get out of the colder weather in many cases.
They are. They don't like to be out in the cold any more than we do. So they start looking for nice warm places. And if your home and your yard and your garage and your shed offer such a nice warm place and there's egress and ingress, I think the other word is, they're going to take advantage of it. So there are things you can do now before they move in for the winter to maybe critter-proof your home a bit.
Okay.
And, you know, depending on what part of your home that they are coming into, there are things you can do.
I like this, critter-proof.
Yes.
So what are some of the ways that I can keep from becoming a victim?
No, you would become a landlord.
Well, yes, okay.
Pay rent. They do not pay rent, and they are hard to evict. So there are various things. One example is your chimney. Okay, and a lot of people do put chimney caps on, which is great because it prevents birds and animals from getting into your chimney. Because squirrels can get in your chimney, raccoons, bats, chimney swifts. Okay, so if a squirrel gets in your chimney and falls down, it cannot climb back out.
And that's when there's a problem there.
Then you've got to try to get them out, and I've had to do this through your fireplace. And then if it gets loose in your house, you know.
Forget it. Just move.
That's just not
a good
thing.
Easiest thing to do if a squirrel gets loose in your house.
How do you get?
I put a cat carrier in front of my fireplace with, you know, the doors, and I put food in it. And eventually the squirrel, because it was down, you know, where the logs would be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because you know, they cannot climb up. The only mammal that can climb back out of a chimney is an adult raccoon.
Really?
And so raccoons will often, sometimes, have their litters in your chimney. Because they can go in and out.
Yeah.
And so
but the babies can't.
But the babies can't. So she has to, and so you do not want to set a fire in your fireplace thinking you're going to smoke out these
because
animals
because
they can't get out. Bats and chimney swifts also use chimneys. And what I learned was that the way you can tell which one you have in your chimney is at dusk, you watch. And if it's flying out, it's a bat. If it's flying in, it's a chimney swift.
Okay.
Yes, and because chimney swifts build their nests vertically. They can't really take off from the ground. So if you don't, and so some people leave their chimneys open for them because they are running out of places, you know, because they used to be barn swallow, you know, they used to, mm-hmm. they don't have places to build nests anymore.
Yeah.
But if you don't want these animals in your fireplace flue and et cetera, you can just cap it.
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't cap it in the spring because you don't know what's already in there. You have to cap it before they move in.
Okay.
Because again, there's no way for them to come out except through your living room. not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
So
I have heard of squirrels getting into either an attic or in a house, and it's
right.
not pretty.
And the attic thing is the other one. You've got squirrels, bats, raccoons. They will build in your attic.
How do they get in the attic?
That, you know, I found out from personal experience that it doesn't have to be a very big hole.
That's
a squirrel will gnaw a little hole, and a raccoon will enlarge it. And they will go in there, and they have their babies, and they tear up your insulation,
yeah.
and they eat through your duct and your wiring, and they make a really big mess. And so what will happen is then you go and hire some pest control company. They come, they trap the mom, which means mom, if they're trapped, mom, they have to be euthanized by state law. So they trap mom, but they don't think about the babies. And so now the babies are orphaned in your attic and die. You know, it's not a good situation.
Mm.
There are humane conflict management companies. It's a very long word for a humane pest control company that will actually do put an excluder device. I got the word right.
Mm-hmm.
So they find the hole.
Yeah.
They put this device so that when mom goes out, she cannot come back in, but you haven't trapped her. Then they go in. They get the babies out of the attic. They bring the babies outside into the yard, put them in a box, and mom comes and gets them one at a time because foxes, squirrels, raccoons, they always have a second home. We can't afford second homes, but they can. And so they will move them one at a time, and you haven't had to kill anything. You know where the hole is, and you immediately have somebody come and repair the hole so that they can't come back in.
Sure.
So, you know, but the thing is, that's why you want to do this now. Get all those repairs done now. Because once you have the animals in there, you've got these decisions to make. Are you going to kill them? Are you going to try? Yeah, and it's going to cost you money to have them trapped and moved. And they're not allowed to be relocated off your property. It's against the law to relocate squirrels, raccoons, foxes, anything off your property. So you have to kind of convince them on their own to go somewhere else. So those are a couple of the things. You know, there's groundhogs hibernate. So they dig under slabs, concrete slabs. And so they recommend highly that you don't try to evict a groundhog in the winter because it's hibernating, has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Or in the spring when it has babies. So basically you've got late summer, early fall to make sure that they can't get under the slab. The foxes and the raccoons will nest under decks and stuff. And there are ways to convince them that this is not the most hospitable place to be. And my favorite story is Jen Toussaint, who's the head of the animal control office in Arlington, says that SpongeBob SquarePants and Dora the Explorer are two of the best helium balloons you can use because they have eyes. And she said she also, I think it was a Pikachu or one of those for her daughter's birthday, that you tie them up under next to the deck where they're dinning, and you play loud music and have lights. But those balloons are floating, and
it's
just
the movement.
She uses it now around her garden to keep the animals out of her tomato plants. Those okay. that will then, you know, it's distracting enough they don't want it, and they will move their litter somewhere else because they have another den somewhere.
Isn't that interesting that you can do that yourself?
Yes, mm-hmm. that way you aren't having to have them trapped because again, yeah. if they trap species that can carry rabies, foxes, skunks, raccoons, they by law are supposed to kill them. And that's, you know, and then again, you're leaving orphans.
Right.
So.
And that's not fair to the animals that we keep taking their habitat. Right. You know, they have to go somewhere.
Yep.
Another great place to find deterrents, like Carolyn was talking about, is the Humane Society of the United States. If you go on their website and just search wildlife, there are several different species of, quote, nuisance wildlife. And they will tell you, you know, put up balloons or do this or do that. And they have some really good suggestions on how to get those animals to move along of their own accord. You know, like Carolyn said, you can hire a wildlife removal company or a pest control company, but you will pay hundreds of dollars. And there are, you know, a lot of ways that you can just do it yourself. I have a friend who has I've mentioned him before, Paul Smith at Advanced Wildlife Removal. He will, a lot of times, just give people advice over the phone. And his number is 540-809-3979. Again, that's Advanced Wildlife Removal. And I know for a fact that he will, a lot of times, just talk to people, mm-hmm. you know. And he said that if he can help somebody just with a suggestion over the phone and he doesn't have to go out, then, you know, the hard part is finding these companies who really, truly care, one, about people and about animals. Because he knows that if he removes these animals, they have to be euthanized, and he doesn't want to do that. So if he can help a homeowner with suggestions on how to get these animals to move along, then, you know, that's what he'll do. I mean, now, if he has to come out, obviously he has to charge, but so, and I heard actually an ad the other day on B101.5 about Permatreat Pest Control. They have they'll come out and do a free inspection and see if there's any holes or anything that, you know, anywhere around your house or property that these animals can get into.
Yeah.
So.
Because I was just going to ask you that, Carolyn. So this is worth looking at or asking if you do have someone
right.
ask how mm-hmm. they're going to, what they're going to do.
Right. Because a lot of them will, there's no certification for a humane or a conflict management company. So a lot of them are putting that into their names now.
Yeah.
So there is actually a list of questions, maybe on the Humane Society site, but there's a list of questions that you can ask them about exactly how they will do it. Because they may say it's humane that they've trapped and killed it. And, you know.
Yeah, you may have. Yeah.
But it's humane in that, you know, the animal's not going to suffer if they're orphaned or whatever. But, and you run into that with, even with the mice, you know, people have mice in their house, et cetera. And they put down glue traps. That is the worst thing you can do because you not only catch this mouse who dies a slow, torturous death,
yeah.
but then you catch the animals that are trying to get to the mouse or the bugs that have crawled on there. And so your birds get caught on there, other small mammals, and they mm-hmm. all die because they can't get off. To me, you're better off snap trapping a mouse if you're not going to.
Mm-hmm. Glue traps are horrible.
Yeah, you know, because even if you live trap it, legally, you're not supposed to take it off your property. Well, guess what? If they know how to get back into your house, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You take it 3 miles away, they're going to die because they have no resources available to them. They don't know the area. And that's why it's illegal to relocate. Because you move a squirrel 3 miles down the road and you think, oh, look, there's lots of trees and they've got nuts.
It's a nice park.
It's a nice park, but they don't have nesting. They haven't lived there. There's other predators. There's territorial issues. You know, there's a reason for most of the laws and regulations. Some of them are a little, you know, crazy, but there's a reason for mm-hmm. it. They're trying to protect the wildlife, and they know that, you know, relocating is a certain death for them. So all you've done is just made it someone else's problem.
Wreaths this time of year. Every year you talk about mm-hmm. a wreath on the door or something
yeah.
like that.
So that's a spring thing, because that's the birds.
Oh, is that okay?
That's birds. But again, you know, there's federal laws protecting all the songbirds. So once you have a nest that has eggs or babies in it, it is against the law to remove it unless it happens to be an English sparrow or a starling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, good luck with the normal public figuring out which one. Except that starlings tend to nest in the oven and dryer vents.
The outside of your house.
Nests, you can remove them because you don't want the fire hazard.
Yeah.
And then the recommendation is you can take like a gallon milk jug, cut a hole in it, put the nest in there. So mom, hang it close by. She gets her nest. You haven't killed anything off, but your dryer vent doesn't get stopped up. But once there's eggs or babies in a nest, it is against federal law to remove it. So either take your wreaths down beforehand or enjoy the babies because they're only there a few weeks.
Usually the Carolina wrens, they will build nests in wreaths, hanging, you know, people get the hanging baskets with the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
They will just build their nest in the craziest dang places.
So you have one in a hanging basket. They say then you can't really water it. So they say put ice cubes in there around so that the plant gets watered, but the babies don't get drowned. There are people
that... What a great way.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be a lot of ice cubes, but, you know, whatever works. And again, people love to watch that. They love to watch them hatch and fledge and everything. But if there's wreaths on your front door and you can't go in and out your front door, you either have to go through the garage or whatever. Or you can maybe move the wreath, like, over onto the wall, but you can't get rid of the nest. You have to keep it there and keep it very close so mom can find it.
Okay.
So when we come back in the spring, we'll talk about
that.
Yes. And fledglings on the ground.
And the other thing, but Karen, you just mentioned, if you don't want that to happen, you take your wreath down.
Beforehand.
Right, before it starts warming up.
Yeah.
Anything else that you've got there that we need to know about as far as is because just even like the dryer vent is a great idea. You wouldn't think of that.
And you can get little screens to put over your dryer
wire screen that you can use there. There's actually a whole description of digging under your slab. You dig a trench around your slab so deep and you put hardware cloth in an L-shaped so that they can't, and then you bury it so that when they dig...
You're talking about groundhogs.
Groundhogs, some other...
Skunks.
Yeah, probably. Things that dig under so that it... I'm showing you on the radio. this is what you're
digging under.
They can't dig under because they run into this thing. So you can go online, Google that. You can go to our website. I think there's probably stuff there. I know we had a brochure at one point that talked about how to do that. Humane Society, they have a whole conflict management section. So there are, again, things you can do ahead of time so that you don't have to deal with these animals after the fact, because there are really, you don't want to try to move them during baby season. And, you know, so then you have to wait till they wean and then they move off. And then the other thing is don't leave pet food out, because now you're attracting the possums, the raccoons, the foxes, and every other, you know, critter that likes to eat pet food, of which there's a lot. Secure your trash can so the raccoons can't get in. A lot of people are told really to pull your bird feeders because that, of course, attracts raccoons and stuff. And now we've got bears wandering around. We even have bears up in Vienna and Oakton, Northern Virginia.
They mentioned
bears. It's like, really, where would they even begin to go? But they love bird feeders, and they can climb.
Yeah.
So maybe take your bird feeders down. And they even talk about if you have fruit trees to rake up the fallen fruit, because anytime there's a food source, you're going to have wildlife.
They're going to come for it.
And there's lots of people that love that, and they love to watch it, and that's great. But then they don't like it so much when they move in for the winter. So you got to kind of weigh your priorities there and go with what's best for you, but that will also not harm the animals.
Another good thing to remember, if you can, is to trim your trees back. So when squirrels climb the trees, they can't jump from the tree onto your roof. Now, sometimes that's not practical if you have a big oak tree right off the side of your house somewhere. But other animals like possums are excellent climbers. They will climb a tree. And if they can walk down a branch and get onto your roof, they're going to do that, especially if a squirrel or a raccoon has already made a nice little opening in your siding and can get into your attic. Because possums are opportunists. They don't actually build a nest or a burrow or anything of their own. They're lazy animals, and they will use an abandoned groundhog or skunk burrow, or a hole in the house that a squirrel or a raccoon is torn into, or if there's a hollow tree, they'll climb the tree and sleep in that. So they're pretty lazy little animals, and they don't actually make anything of their own. But if there is a space under a deck or a shed, or like I said, going into your attic, then they'll utilize that as well.
The good thing, though, is that they always take their babies with them. They don't leave them during the day. So
usually,
whereas if you have a raccoon in your attic and the raccoon is out foraging during the day, the babies are in the attic.
Yeah.
Possums carry their babies with them everywhere they go. So at least you don't have to worry as much about that.
So it does sound like you should kind of walk your property and look at your house and make sure that as well as you can see that you've, you know.
And if there are companies out there like Permatreat, I've never used them personally. I literally just heard an ad yesterday. And they're willing to come out and do a free inspection.
Do it.
You don't have anything to lose because they know you might look your property. I had, ironically, squirrels in my attic, and I'm pretty sure there's squirrels I released on my property one year that were getting in through the attic fan.
Oh.
And you look up and you can't see, but there was one, they had tested it. And there was one little place where they could push down and get in. You can't see that.
Mm-mm.
And I would have never known.
Yeah.
So it's definitely beneficial to have a company that comes out that they know
what to look for.
What to look for and all these little wildlife tricks, you know, where they're going to try to access a house.
Karen Bryce, Carolyn Wilder here, Wildlife Rescue League, wildliferescueleague.org. Quick break. We'll wrap it up.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning. Wildlife Rescue League. Before we get out of here, Carolyn Wilder, talk again about how people can get in touch with you.
We have a helpline, 703-440-0800. It is available, open from 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. And if you call after that, somebody will call you back the next morning.
And again, the Wildlife Rescue League does great stuff. Check out wildliferescueleague.org.
Yes.
And get involved in some way. Be a donor would be a great thing for the
And
things.
You don't even have to drive up to Virginia, Northern Virginia, to do it. You
right.
don't have to use 95.
You come down here to us. So
right.
I thank you for that. Karen, you got something going on at Possibilities on William Street on Sunday.
Yes. Again, we are having our Fairy Tale Fall Ball. It is free and open to the public. Allie from It's Me Sesame and Sesame the Opossum is going to be there signing her books. There's going to be Cinderella and Rapunzel. We're going to give stuff away. There's going to be possums. It is going to be a fun time. It is, again, 1 to 5 this Sunday, Possibilities to 11 William Street, second floor up over the candy store.
Karen Bryce, an animal rehabber in the area. Always great to see you, Karen. Thanks for all you do. And you have a possum with you today. And it's all that needs to be said. Carolyn Wilder, always good to have you. Thank you for driving on 95 and coming down.
And I never bring an animal.
You don't. And I love you for it. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.
Thanks, guys.
On News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.